Are you running on empty?
Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
That's right, Kev. 12:30 here, Wednesday afternoon. It's time for The Computer Guys here. Thanks for sticking around, listening to us, even though we've taken the last couple weeks off with baseball games here. So
yeah, well, we had, there was something before two weeks ago, there was, I don't remember. Was the Tigers two weeks ago? Oh, okay.
The Whitecaps.
Hey, you're right.
But we're back. Wednesday afternoon here. Time for The Computer Guys.
We're not going to talk about baseball either.
No. Not unless it has to do with computers.
That's right.
We'll try to stick mostly on topic today. So give us a call, 395-1450. We'd like to hear from you here. And if you're having any problems with your computer, or maybe you just have some questions in general that you're not sure where to go to, hopefully we can answer those. But if you don't want to call us and you'd rather send an email, you could do that as well.
It's computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you've got a question, you want to send it in via email or a comment or anything else, it's computerguys, except your spam. Don't send us your spam.
Yeah, we already get enough of that.
Yeah, computerguys@whtc.com, and we will do our best to get to it on the show.
And Kev, of course, in addition to all that, there's always news. And when we've been out of the game for a couple weeks here, there's I've got a big stack of news here.
Do you?
Of different stories.
Got a handful of things here.
Yeah, I've got all kinds of stories here. So if you don't like what we're talking about, give us a call. 395-1450. We'll take your calls right here.
That's one way to look at it.
Well, you know, sometimes the things that I find interesting may not be quite as interesting to our listeners.
That's right.
Such as Microsoft is ending mainstream support for Windows XP.
There you go.
Microsoft is in the unusual position of no longer offering mainstream support for its most widely used product. Windows XP will pass past another milestone on the road to retirement when they ended their support April 14, 2009, because of over 7 years. It's been over 7 years since the OS originally shipped. While the company said it will continue to provide free security fixes for XP until 2014, any future bugs found on the platform will not be fixed unless customers pay.
Interesting.
So Windows XP accounts for about 63% of all internet-connected computers. 63%? So, of course, they're still doing Windows updates.
Actually, that's less than I thought. I guess if you take, of every single computer, not just Microsoft's computer, I guess that makes a little more sense. Yep, but, a lot of this has to do with the fact that Windows 7 is on the horizon. There's been a lot of development there. They've actually put out a release candidate, which I think is pretty darn near what final production is going to look like.
They say here also, Kev, Windows Vista makes up about 24% of the internet-connected computers.
Wow.
24% versus 63% for XP.
Not bad.
Part of that, I think the reason for that is, although Vista did get a lot of negative publicity, part of it is, computers just last longer than they used to.
I mean,
every 2 years for a while there, computers were doubling in speed and capacity and size and everything.
Yep, and that's definitely tapered off. Now, we've seen some pretty significant advances as far as RAM technology and the multiple core processors in the last little while. But what that means to the average home user, not a whole lot.
Especially when the average home user is just doing internet and email.
Mm-hmm. If you're doing anything intensive, whether it's gaming or video editing or 3D rendering, then you'll really start to see some of those advances take effect. But for the average everyday desktop tasks, that 5-year-old computer may still be a decent thing, which is why a lot of people choose to repair, and that's a very viable option. If everything checks out, so.
Kev, that kind of leads into this email here. This is a little bit of a longer email, so take a minute or two here to read through it. This is from Diana. Hi, I have a 2000, so the computer is from 2000, HP Pavilion I purchased with Windows Millennium Edition and have since upgraded to Windows XP. Although upgrading to Windows XP made my system more stable, which typically
it's not,
it's more stable. I've repeatedly experienced the same problem over and over at various intervals, most recently just shy of 1 year after having it addressed professionally. I've replaced my hard drive and also have both an external hard drive and internal backup drive. What happens is the computer works fine, then suddenly Windows fails to start up, and all I get is a blank screen with my cursor blinking in the upper left corner. I hate to purchase a new computer with Windows Vista. I don't really want it. Have recently purchased software for XP that probably won't work on Vista. Currently network with my laptop, which uses XP, and quite frankly, don't want to spend the money on a new one. So when I took it in last, they found no hardware issues or viruses, and just paid to have Windows XP reinstalled. This is kind of funny. It's almost like Microsoft picks a date to have my system fail randomly. I use antivirus software and SpyBot and keep both up to date. Any ideas? I can reinstall everything myself, but it's quite lengthy, as I need to start with my original recovery disks, which uses Millennium Edition, and then upgrade to Windows XP and do all the updates to both operating system and Office software, etc. So Diana understands that this is not a process that takes 20 minutes. Which takes about a day and a half. And even then, that's doing pretty good. So do you have any ideas on how to fix this so I don't need to go through this pain again and again?
Well, one thing there that in that that was mentioned was about the process of going first with the system software in Millennium Edition and then going over to XP. And any time it's an upgrade to XP, especially from something like Millennium Edition, that's a significant change, and it's not going to run quite as well as if you were able to install XP from the beginning. So that is one thing I would say to that is if at all possible, and there is a way to do it, is to install just XP, never having put Millennium Edition in place. Now, the only issue with that is if there's some software that originally shipped with the system that you really want to be running, then the only way to get it on there is to use those recovery disks. So that is a bit of a limiting factor, and that's kind of the way that HP designed it. But that can definitely make a difference as far as stability and overall performance of your system. It would definitely be better to install XP from the beginning. As to like what's causing the exact issue, it could be a couple of different things. It's hard to say without looking at it. You know, we have seen this before. It can be some corrupted system files. If the system doesn't get shut down properly prior to that happening, it can be a Windows update that actually causes a problem. And so, yeah, there are some ways to address that. But without actually seeing it, it's hard to say. Just taking note of what happened prior to the system not booting is probably a good place to start. Were any major changes made or updates made or anything like that? So,
yeah. As far as on the troubleshooting side, you know, we have ways of going through. Sometimes, like you said, it's a system file, restoring those system files, or sometimes it's a problem with the registry. Yep. We can go in so that you don't have to go through and reload Windows. And I'd say, Kev, 90% of the time on a non-booting, well, even higher, 95% of the time on a non-booting computer, we're able to actually fix that rather than have to go through the whole process of reinstalling and putting the data back on, which is definitely an involved process.
Yep.
Although, if you do the full reformat reinstall, that's where you're going to notice the best performance.
Now, again, that's if at all possible going straight to XP instead of going from ME to XP, because that will definitely cut down on the that performance.
Now, with that being said, we're still dealing with a computer that's 9 years old here, and considering that most computers are about average life 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And you said you did have a new hard drive, so that's good. But even at that, the speed of the computer, I know computers that shipped with ME, it's not blazingly fast.
You're probably dealing with 2,000. You're a Pentium 4.
And with hardware prices what they are, it's not a bad time to buy. And if you really are set on XP, you could still get XP on some systems.
Not all, but some.
And actually, speaking of that, Windows 7, we keep talking about that because that's coming out, is rumored to have a XP mode, where basically it's sort of a virtual PC, which allows you to run programs that work in XP, but not in Windows Vista, on your actual computer. So XP mode, if you're going to be running that, needs a beefier system to be able to run the XP mode because it runs virtually. So it has to have at least 2 gigs of memory and a pretty good actual processor. So something to look forward to building.
I think if they had a way of making the computer screen look like Windows XP and Windows 7, people would be happy.
I think there's some ways to do that.
I know, but if they just made that by default, people would probably not even know the difference.
People don't want it to change.
Yeah,
they want XP to last forever.
Well, they wanted 98 to last forever too.
I know. Future is coming. The future.
But anyway,
is here.
The last question on that email there, Kev, with HP Pavilion, is there any way to prevent this from happening? You know, if you've got good antivirus software, you're checking to make sure you're not getting spyware on there, you're doing your Windows updates, you know.
And making sure your system gets shut down properly. Yeah, it's hard to say, because this is that problem that you're having can be caused by any number of things. And it's, if you're getting no error messages or anything, it makes it a little hard to troubleshoot kind of what led up to that. So that's hard to say as to the exact cause of the issue. But in general, yeah, staying on top of system maintenance is a good idea. And hey, and if this is part of, if you've had this happen a couple times, it's probably a good reason to make sure you're backing up your data.
Yep, absolutely. Of course, with an external hard drive that she has, as well as an internal backup drive, that's pretty good.
Yep, it's pretty good, as long as they're being used.
Yeah, that's right, as long as you're doing it.
Yep.
There's nothing worse than a backup system that you forget to do.
Got a backup system. I just never back up.
Yeah, or if you have it automated to actually make sure that that is going through. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Hi, I just have a very basic question. We recently started using the internet and signed up for that service through AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
We don't use it very often, just email, things like that. But do you have to use, like, the web page that comes up for AT&T? That's where the email is through.
No, you don't. You don't have to use that. You can just use any home page. That's going to be the web page that first comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to check your mail, if you don't want to use a program like Windows Mail or Outlook Express, you can just use Yahoo Mail. And basically, when you go there for your username, and that's just mail.yahoo.com, and you can do that from any internet-connected computer,
okay.
And you type in for your username your entire email address, and then the password that goes along with that, which is going to be the password that you used to actually set up your service.
Okay.
You can get at your mail from anywhere.
Okay.
All right.
As far as that homepage goes, you can actually set that to anything that you want. So if you wanted it to be Google, you could put it to that. If you wanted, you know, Yahoo or anything. Do you use Internet Explorer as your internet browser?
Right.
Okay. Yep. To do that, you just, usually in the upper right-hand corner, there's a little button that says Tools.
Okay.
And if you click on Tools and then go to Internet Options, there's a spot right on there where you can change your homepage. It'll probably say, you know, something with to do with ATT, you know, .com or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But just change it to whatever homepage you want, Google.com or anything else, and you just hit OK once you're done with that. Next time you open Internet Explorer, it'll just go to whatever you said it is.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
And, you know, Kev, a lot of times, get a lot of questions about that. People will get a new computer, and it will have, like, they buy Dell. It'll have the Dell.com. Well, you don't need that as your homepage.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Gateway always did that, too.
Yeah. How often do you want to go to the website?
You don't exactly want
the place
Gateway
where you
to be your main page that you go to every time.
Exactly.
Personally, I have Google set as mine, but Yahoo is a popular one. Hound Sentinel, people use that, too, so.
Yep.
Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Okay, here's a question for you. Last week, my wife got an update for her AVG antivirus program, and it wanted to install the Yahoo toolbar, and she did not accept that. Then after the AVG installed, there was the Yahoo toolbar, and she could not access the internet using the browser that she normally uses. She doesn't use the Internet Explorer browser. She uses the, slipping my mind right now, but not...
Firefox?
Firefox, exactly. It just said, Firefox. And the message came up, it was like, what? I've never seen anything like it before in my life. And you know, the only thing we could do to get rid of that was we had to uninstall AVG antivirus. What in the world's up with that?
Wait, so you installed the updated AVG, correct?
What happened was she got an automatic message, you know, when she turned on her laptop.
Yep.
That AVG wanted to update.
Yep.
You know, so she said, cool, okay, go ahead. Then it popped up a message, do you want to install the Yahoo toolbar?
Yep.
And she declined that.
Okay.
Then it installed the AVG antivirus update, and when she got her browser restarted, it had the Yahoo toolbar, and she couldn't go anywhere.
Now, the browser that she actually restarted, was that Internet Explorer or was that Firefox?
Nope, that was Mozilla Firefox.
Okay, it was Firefox. And right. So as long as that was on there, she couldn't get online?
Right.
And then to restore her ability to get online, did she, you said she uninstalled AVG?
Right.
That's kind of strange.
I've I've got ABG running on two laptops and a desktop myself, and I haven't had that problem.
You know, over the last 6 months or so, especially since the new version came out, we have seen a lot more problems with ABG, whether either it was 7.5 or 8.
Yep.
We have seen a lot more problems where it'll cause, after an update like that, people come in and say, hey, I just updated this, and now my computer doesn't boot.
Yeah. Right.
So it's still, you know, it's still overall, I'd say it's still a good program, but we have seen in the past, I mean, you put it on and it never caused any problems.
Yeah, it's
but
definitely
we have seen,
been
yeah, more problems within the last 6 months with it.
The other
yeah,
thing
I've,
you
I've
could
never had trouble with it.
The other thing you could potentially try and do is to actually reinstall Firefox. If for some reason, and it was just the standalone antivirus, it wasn't the AVG Internet Security Suite.
Right, exactly. Just the antivirus standalone free program.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. I mean, it's possible that it, when it tried to, like, integrate, if you did the full install with a link scanner and all of that, if it tried to integrate with Firefox and something failed during installation, that could block all traffic.
Well, and I was just kind of wondering if there was a possibility that maybe there was some other little problem that cropped up, like maybe some kind of a hacker-inserted program.
I kind of doubt it. I think it's probably something went wrong on the install. And so one of two things, yeah, you removed it. You could put it back on, and if it blocked it again, I would say potentially try and reinstall Firefox with AVG already in place.
Right.
And that will sort of force those connections to go back through,
and
that should cause it to work.
Well, my next question was, you know, like I said, I've used AVG for a long time now. I've never had any trouble with it, but what is there any other alternative to AVG?
Oh, I mean, are you specifically talking for a free alternative?
Right, yep.
You know, a couple other ones that are out there, Avast makes a free one, AVAST, and that is they do have a free version that basically for home use only, kind of like AVG. And that's another one that's done pretty well. It's a little less well-known than AVG, and there's some other customizations in there, but as far as a pretty decent level of protection, that's another one that that I would say is pretty trustworthy.
Does it take care of email?
Oh, yeah. It's got email plugins for all the standard applications. You know, if you're using web-based email, most of that stuff comes filtered anyway. But if you're still using Outlook or Outlook Express, it does plug into all the standard email clients.
Sure. Okay, cool.
All right.
Great, thanks.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Yep, bye.
Actually, I had some problems with my home computer with AVG as well. Had to actually go through the whole uninstall process.
You know, it's pretty funny. I still have I've got one system that I've just left 7.5 on.
Yeah.
Every day it pops up saying, it's expired, you have to go update. But you know what? It still updates.
Yeah. You know, and the reason that for home use that we use AVG, Kev, is because it's really basic use that we have on it.
Uh-huh.
And we're both know what to do and what not to do on the internet.
Sure.
But for work computers, we still use Symantec.
Yep, Symantec products. And, you know, for home use, Norton products, too, since they've re-engineered this past year, they really are offering a pretty good level of protection without, you know, compromising system performance. And that's one big change that AVG has made. It used to be such a light program, didn't really take a lot to run it. And with the new version that came out, it's actually kind of intensive. When you look at the amount of resources that the program actually uses, when it's installed and running, it uses a lot more than it used to. So the impact is, if you've got an older computer, it's going to slow it down even more. So that's one of the reasons, too, that Norton has been such a great pick for that. This actually, hey, I got a little definition question here for you. You heard of this, Dave? Scareware?
Scareware? No,
yeah,
I have not.
It's kind of a new term, which covers several classes of software that are often provide no benefit, or very limited benefit, and are sold to consumers by unethical marketing practices. Basically, this is the category for the security software, and I say that with quotes on it, that pops up and says, your computer's at risk, blah, 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 download this program to fix it. You know, and then you download it, and then you pay $39.99, and what that program does for you is nothing. Or it makes that message go away. So it's often, you know.
And see, that's exactly it. And then you can't remove it. So it's technically not a virus.
Yep. So it's fallen into this new class of scareware. So it's basically telling you there's some threat that's present on your system, which is not true. And then saying, buy this to fix it. So
I hate those programs.
I do too.
I wish I could meet some of the people who make those.
Yep. And then they classify it. It's pretty funny. There's anxiety-based scareware, alert-based scareware, and shock-based scareware.
So, and it always says, it's a pop-up that'll come up there, and it'll say something like, we've scanned your computer and you have 30 viruses and you have blah, 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 cookies and this and that. And you go, oh my goodness, click OK before it.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you've got this program keeps asking you for your money and they won't go away until you finally pay it. And then half the time, that doesn't even take care of it because then there's another program that
that'll fix the other couple of things.
And then they just keep milking you.
Yep. So this is one to watch out for.
And they don't even do anything.
Yeah. And just some interesting stuff on there. In 2005, Microsoft in Washington State successfully sued Secure Computer, makers of spyware cleaner, for $1 million over charges using scareware pop-ups.
And they probably didn't even get any of that money.
In 2008, Microsoft and Washington Attorney General filed a lawsuit against two Texas firms, Branch Software and Alpha Red, producers of Registry Cleaner XP scareware. You remember that one, don't you?
There's so many like
incessant pop-ups resembling system warnings, stating critical error message, registry damaged and corrupted, before instructing users to visit a website and download Registry Cleaner XP at a cost of $39.95.
Well, Kev, this was actually going to be for last week's episode, but it still applies. So last week, Apple had posted a counter on the App Store for downloads as they approach 1 billion downloads.
That's right.
The lucky billionth downloader got a stash consisting of a MacBook Pro, 32-gig iPod Touch, Time Capsule, and a, get this, $10,000 iTunes gift certificate.
Whoa, that's huge.
That's more music than you could ever.
That goes a long ways.
Yeah, I mean, I could understand, like, oh, here's your $500, but $10,000.
Phew.
You give that to your friends, buy everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, the App Store now has over 30,000 applications. Now, of course, most of those are not very popular, but
yeah. And if you want to track that stuff, it's pretty funny because they did some research on how many of these are in use more than 24 hours.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show,
and it's incredibly low. So, but it's been a very popular way to distribute applications, and a lot of the other companies are trying to get in on that market and develop a solid app store for their specific platform. So,
Kev, what Dell's new Dell's new Precision T7500 desktop can come when it has 12 memory slots that can accommodate up to 16 gigabytes each. For a grand total of 192 gigabytes of RAM.
Wow.
So if you...
if money is not an object...
yeah. You don't care what the cost is, and you want more RAM than you'll ever need.
I wonder if you...
That's actually more RAM than I have hard drive space on my laptop.
It's insane. What would you do with that? I don't know.
Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Yeah, I'm having a problem with Internet Explorer. Some things I can't go on, like if I want to go on Fox Sports and that, I can get the thing up, but I can't scroll it down or anything, and it says having trouble with this, and then it says to that I need to update my multimedia Adobe Flash something.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been talking to people, and they told me to switch over to that Fox.
Yep, Firefox.
Firefox, is that a good idea?
Yeah, there are probably two other browsers that you could consider. Firefox is one that's a free download. You just type a search into Google for Firefox, and it'll be the first one. Or the other one is Google now makes a browser called Chrome that I've been using quite a bit, and that I've been quite happy with, actually.
But either way, you're going to still need to update your Flash player, and that's really the problem I think that you're having. Is on that page, you know, regardless of the browser you're using, a lot of the content is actually displayed using a program called Flash. And for that to work properly, you have to have the new version. So the first thing I would do before you even, you know, if you're going to do Firefox, that's fine, install Firefox. And then when you try and go to that page, it should prompt you. But if you want to continue using Internet Explorer, if you go to like a Google search and you type in Adobe Flash Player, the first result will take you to their website. And basically allow you to download that new version. It's completely free. Just takes a couple minutes to do. And I would say download the Flash Player, and then the second result is Adobe Shockwave Player. Do both of those, and then you shouldn't have any problem displaying that content.
Yeah, because it says this website wants to install the following add-on, Adobe Flash Player Installer from Adobe Systems Incorporated. If you trust the website and the add-on and want to install it, click here.
So yeah, and if you do that, it should actually take care of your problem.
Oh, okay. So then is that free? Or do you
have it's completely free.
Oh.
And all that does is allow you to, the pictures and all the content on that page to display properly.
Yeah, but then I click on it and it won't go there. It's like it froze up.
Yeah, and if it doesn't do that, what you can do is, you know, you close your browser out and then just go and do like a Google search. It's actually get.adobe.com/flashplayer if you want to actually go to the Adobe website and get the Flash Player before you go back to your Fox Sports page.
Okay, what does that get?
Yep, get.adobe.com and then /flashplayer. And that will take you right to the website to get the newest version of the Adobe Flash Player.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks for your call.
Yep. Bye-bye.
And actually, Kev, I would say that there's a good chance that if that doesn't fix the problem, go into something like, because there are some pages that have Flash that just for whatever reason, in my Internet Explorer, it just doesn't like it. And it kind of hangs it up and it's slow, even after I've reinstalled and I need to reformat the computer. But anyway, so I throw Chrome on there, and it works beautifully.
Yep, and that's the thing. It's like certain pages just won't render right in one browser and will render better in another one. And that can even be system-specific. So, but, you know, most of the time it's a compatibility issue. And if you do go with Firefox or something else, you still need to have that Flash plugin installed for it to work properly.
Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, I was wondering, I had an opportunity to possibly upgrade to Windows Vista. Should I look into that, or should I still hold off with Windows XP?
How old is the computer that you're using, or would it be you'd be upgrading on a new computer?
It's an older computer.
Okay. You know about how old that computer is?
It's good 5 years old.
If it's 5 years old, I'd say probably not, because it would probably run too slow for you.
And you're probably not going to actually enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh. If the computer's not fast enough, Vista is not a very fun experience. But if it's a new computer, maybe a year or 2 years old, and you're putting it on, I'd say go for it. It would work great. But on something that's 5 years old, I think you'd probably be disappointed.
Oh, all right. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good one. And, you know, you can still, Kev, go through the expense of upgrading an older computer that's 5 years old with more RAM and that type of thing. But it's still, I think you'd be happier with XP. So probably just recommend sticking with that for now.
Till Windows 7 comes out, and maybe buy a new one.
Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Hi, Dave and Kevin. How are you?
Good, you?
Good. Hey, I've got a problem with when I get an email. I've got, my computer's only a year old. It's a laptop. It's a Dell. It's a 1720 Inspiron.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
When I get an email from somebody and I try to forward it on, if it's got any pictures, all of them come up in as an attachment. They don't forward the pictures on. It comes up in an attachment, and some of them just look real funky because it's got wording under it, under the picture, and then it scrolls down. But they all come up as an attachment. I can never forward it with the pictures themselves.
How are you checking your email or forwarding those messages?
I've got Charter.
Okay. Do you go to their webpage to do that, or do you use Windows Mail?
Nope. Their website.
Their website.
Unfortunately, Charter's webmail is not very good. The interface on that isn't really well designed. So you can go into the options setting for
If I can change my email options, that would be great too, because it's really a pain in the butt. Everything comes up that way, and I just hate it. I have to go in, and if I want to forward something, I have to go to the website, cut it or copy it, and then paste it into another email.
Yep, you might want to think about, because of the limitations on Charter's website, you might want to think about using a program like Outlook Express or Outlook on your computer. And what that'll do is that will give you a lot more flexibility for creating new messages and attaching and forwarding on media content.
Okay.
And that doesn't cost anything. It's probably already installed on your computer, especially if it's Outlook Express or Windows Mail, actually, if you've got a newer computer. So anyway, I would say try and do that. And if that doesn't work for you, then give us a call back or give us a call at the office. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland. 399 East 32nd Street is our address. That's one block west of the corner of 32nd and 31.
That's right. And again, if we weren't able to take care of that last problem there, just give our office a call. We'd be happy to help you there. But we're out of time today. So thanks again to everybody, and have a great week.
Holland's hometown station. official Tulip Time station. Hear updates and parades on 1450